Sean, Sean. How are you? Okay, the parasha begins with Vayigash Eilov of Yehuda. So Rashi tells us that Yehuda approached Yosef l'mochama. Right, Vayigash Eilov of Yehuda. He brings down afterwards ki kamoicha keparai. First he says choshev ata be'enai kemelech. That's one pshat, and then he says. Just like Pari doesn't keep his word, you don't keep your word. I'll kill you and I'll kill Pari. Very conflicting message Yehuda is sending Yosef. First of all, Yosef seemed to have been very, very generous here. As far as I'm concerned, Yosef was very generous. Yehuda ends off last week's parasha by saying that the one who we find the goblet, the kois, he should be killed, and everybody else should be slaves. That was Yehuda's psak, right? That's what Yehuda said. Yosef says, Chas v'sholom, how could I do that? That's not nice. The one who we found the geneva by, even he, I'm not taking, removing the death penalty. The Shvatim imposed the death penalty. That's what they passed. Right? Shvatim said, whoever's the Ganav, he should be killed. And then the Shvatim said, and everybody else should be Avodim. So Yosef removes the whole case. If I were the Shvatim, I'd be dancing. I'd be dancing for joy. Number one, he says, whoever didn't take it, not responsible. The Shvatim felt, listen, we're a group. If one of us is a conspiracy, if one of us is caught with the Geneva, everybody's achroi. That's number one. Number two, they said that the one who actually stole it, Chaim is a death penalty. Yosef says, no. Number one, I don't believe in the death penalty. Nobody dies. Everybody's going to live. Number two, whoever wasn't mamish directly involved or found to be involved, found guilty, red-handed, is free to go home. So if I would have fought them, I would hug this man. See, the guy's a tzaddik yisrael elam. This is unbelievable. So what did the shvatim say? Vayigash Eilov Yehuda, says Rashi, says l'melchama. What's the melchama? Why? Why melchama? Thank you. That's what this parasha should be about, thanking Yosef. Thanking him. What's going on here? That's tamapella. What their time is. But assuming that they had a reason now to fear Melchama, why is Yehuda sending such mixed messages? On the one hand, he's telling him, Divrei Tanchumim, Yidaber no avdecha dover, clearly Yehuda's talking in an appeasing way. And at the same time, Chazal are telling us, there's an underlying threat that Yehuda is saying, listen, if you don't listen to me, I'll kill you and I'll kill Pari. And you're a liar and he's a liar and it's not very sweet what's going on. So it seems to be a contradiction in the message of Yehuda. Clearly both messages are being sent. There's a message of Tanchumin. And actually, when Chazal tell us that there were three messages that were being sent, Chazal compared it to Yaakov Avinu with Esav. Because when Yaakov sent Matanos to Esav, if you remember, we had the same kind of problem. On the one hand, he's sending him presents.
right, to Yosef. On the other hand, he's telling him, listen, Vahili Shor v'chamor, and he starts telling him, Shor is Yosef, Chamor is a Yisochar, v'hoye b'is Yaakov Eish, b'is Yosef l'hova, if you're going to mess with me. So Yaakov Avinu is sending his brother on the one hand an appeasing message. On the other hand, he's telling him, Beremez, he's hinting to him, if you fight me, I'm going to finish you off. Also, the strange mahalach here. Let's wonder what's Pshat in Yehuda sending these double, almost not double, but contradictory messages to Yosef HaTzadik.
So there were two messages, not three, right?
Well, three things that he was preparing for, just like Yaakov was preparing three things. He was tefillah, that was between him and Hashem, right? When the Chazal actually say, Vayiga, Vayomer, Bi Adoini, he was talking to Hashem. So, number one, Yehuda was davening, just like his Yaakov Avinu, his father Yaakov davened. Number two, he was sending an appeasing message to Yosef, which is similar to the presence that his father was sending Yosef. And number three, he was sending him a hint that if you mess with me, I'll kill you. So that was the Muhammad message, which Yaakov Avinu was preparing himself for. All I'm saying is that Yehuda was also going in the way of Yaakov Avinu, in the sense that he was preparing in these three ways, but within the message of the appeasement to Yosef HaTzadik, he's again sending him a contradiction. On the one hand, he's saying, you're a king, I'm begging you, Dabeno Avducha, I'm your slave. On the other hand, he's telling him, I'm going to kill you. Or Chazal being Miramis to us. He's telling him, I'm going to kill you. Then what is the pshat? Yosef HaTzadik, so Yehuda gives this little talk over here. Yosef HaTzadik, Lo Yochel Yosef L'Sapik. Something happened now in the discussion that made Yosef say, okay, Ad Kan, the time has come, I have to reveal myself to my brothers. Which is Tam Apella. What do we need all this time for? What are we waiting for? This is the Rishonim HaBavli. Why didn't Yosef do this from day one? It would have saved so much agony and Agmas Nefesh from his father. Forget his brothers. His father. What's it? The Ramban gives a very difficult answer. Why Yosef delayed. The Ramban says Yosef was waiting for his dreams to come to conclusion. He was waiting for his brothers to come, his brothers to be machnia. Otherwise, Yosef should have sent a message right away home. As soon as he became king, should have sent a postcard. Sent a postcard back from Mitzrayim. Show his father where he is, Baruch Hashem. Everything is fine. Picture of him on the throne. It's a very nice card. And Yosef, same message that he sends in this week's parash. He should have sent last week's parash. What did he wait all these years for? So the Ramban's explanation is he was waiting for his dreams to come to conclusion. Do you put yourself, do you put your father into such tsar because you're waiting for dreams to come true? I mean, either they'll come true, they won't come true, or hopefully they'll come true. I mean, what heter did Yosef have to do such a thing? This mamash, it's a pella. Yosef is a spitz mechabit of avimai. That was a shuah. Right, they made a shuah. That was a different thing. They were mitzarif the Shechina. Also, it's a very big difference for Yitzchak to decide than for Yosef to decide. These are two different decisions. So Balabatish, practically, I wanted to say years ago, I based it on a Pirush and a Yerushalmi in Brachos, that Yosef thought that maybe Yaakov was part of the conspiracy. Till this week's parasha, Yosef didn't know, perhaps. Meaning, if you were Yosef, what would you think? We always ignore this part. But if you were Yosef, what would you think? One day your father tells you, you know what, maybe check how the brothers are doing. Chazal, the Rechaim HaKadosh says, Chazal says, Shluchei Mitzrayim Nizokin. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, Yosef L'chaira shouldn't have been allowed to listen to his father. He knows these 10 brothers are not very happy with him. His father tells him, go to Shechem, go check on how they're doing, they'll kill him. Right? And then he goes, and he finds they're in the middle of paskening that he's chayv misa. If you were Yosef, what would you be thinking? Punkt. Your father sends you, this is the first time, your father sends you to your brothers. At that time, he sends you to your brothers, they're in the middle of paskening, that you chayev misa. And then they grab you and take care of you. It looks like one big plan. It looks like Yaakov Avinu was involved, the Shvatim were involved. So Yosef really is a loner. He's not sending no postcards home. Because this is where he was sent. The first indication he had, till now the Shvatim kept on saying, one brother, he's not here. They didn't, there was no big, they weren't crying. He's not here. But in this week's parasha, all of a sudden they say that Yaakov Avinu, Shnayim Yoldo Liyishti, Vayetze Yoechod Me'imi, that's what, so this week's parasha, all of a sudden Yehuda reveals to Yosef that Yaakov is in tremendous sorrow that his father's without him. Now, he couldn't hold himself back. Now that he knew that his absence was causing his father grief, so that's a balbatish pshat that you could say that Yosef really didn't wait 1 minute. As soon as he knew that his father wanted him back, he sent a message immediately. He didn't wait even a second. That's one pshat. That's what I found once a pirush in the Yerushalmi, the end of Brochus, that says this pshat, that he looks at it, that Yosef himself didn't think that his father wanted to hear from him. He thought his father sent him to his death. Why? His father maybe held like the Shvatim. His father held he was high, whatever it is. He didn't know what to do. But anyway, Ech Sheyeh, Yosef HaTzadik waits until this moment to reveal himself for some reason. This moment he can't control himself anymore. Lo Yochel Yosef HaTzadik. Something happens, he can't control himself. And then he says, Ani Yosef, the brothers couldn't answer him. Push up shot without Chazal telling us anything. It was a shock. It's a shock. This is, they were completely taken, they couldn't believe it. That's push up shot. But Chazal see this as a much deeper issue. Chazal say, this is the only analogy we can find in Chumash to the ultimate din that every person has when they come up to the Kisei HaKovod is this confrontation between the brothers. So the Vilna Goyen, which is the most famous pshat, he simplifies it in the most simple way to explain it. And the problem is that according to the simplification of the Gros pshat, you know why this is so unique, this confrontation with Yosef and his brothers. But the Vilna Goyen says there was a stira. The brothers were not consistent. The brothers are sitting here going, look what happened to Yaakov Avinu, right? He's going to die. If you take Binyamin away, he's going to die. So Yosef said, what about when you did to me? Ani Yosef, ha'oido v'ichor. That's the most famous pshat. The problem I have with the Vilna Goyen's pshat is two, it's a posha pshat, is two problems or two kashas. Kasha number one is, and the Goyen says that's when a person comes up to the Kisei HaKovod. That's going to be the ultimate, the Hashem is going to show you in your own life how you're full of contradictions. You have this excuse and that excuse. He'll show you in your own life how all of your rationale is not true. When you have Negiah, when you want to do something, you do it. And when you have Negiah not to do it, you don't do it. And you rationalize. And he's going to show you how you're inconsistent in your own Dalet Ames. You're not consistent. Okay? When you want to work, all of a sudden you have time and kliches. When it comes to learning, you're exhausted. Life is full of that. It's full of contradictions. Everything is, you have no kliches to have guests when it's neged to somebody who, you know, a mishulch came from Eretz Yisrael, needs a place, you have no klich for him. One of your friends from 20 years ago in yeshiva wants to come to your house, you could be completely, what's pshat? This guy you want to have, and this guy you don't want to have. It's not the pshat, you're not exhausted. Yeah, you come back Friday, you're shmata. But the guy who you're dying to have is gewaldik, fakelt. It's gewaldik. And the guy you're not dying to have, you're not pushed on the pechas. You shviger, you can't have. This one, you could, I mean, it wasn't like that. Person's full of contradictions. So that's what the Vilna Goyen says. Yosef's brothers were showing him that you're full of contradictions. When you sold me, then you didn't have the kasha, what's going to be with Yaakov Avinu. And now, all of a sudden, now you have it. So the truth is, it's a poshut pshat. The problem is, it's so poshut that why did Chazal need this? Like, this is the only analogy we have in Gantz Chumash, that a person that could have a stira with himself. It's a simple thing. It's not. But more than that, the whole basis of the Goyen is a little shver. Because if you look at Yehuda, Yehuda explains himself. Yehuda seems to be saying, the brothers themselves had charata. Chazal tells us this. That when the brothers saw the effect that it had on Yaakov Avinu, they had regret. If you remember, we learned already in Pashas Vayeshev that Yehuda left his brothers. They lowered him. The brothers themselves demoted Yehuda. And Chazal tell us why. Because they saw the tsar that it caused Yaakov Avinu. So what does that mean? That when they sold Yosef, they didn't think, they knew it was going to be some tsar. They didn't know it's going to be Kiyarid El B'ni Ovel Shoyla. They didn't know it's going to be endless grief. They didn't know that. And if they would have known it, they wouldn't have done it. So now Yehuda, this week's Pasha, says, listen, my father lived through that already. And we saw what it did to him. We can't do it again. So what's Yosef saying? Ani Yosef, you didn't think about it. Yeah, we didn't know. We lived through that. Ein Chazal tell us, Ein Chochem Kebal Ani Soyin. There's no wiser man than a person who experienced something. In America, they call, right, the hindsight vision is 20/20. Right? Once you're Baal Nisoyin, once you experience something, you know it differently. So that's what they basically said. So what's Yosef telling them? What were you thinking when it happened to me? When it happened by you, we didn't know. Now we do know. We did it. We experienced it. We saw what it did to our father. Our father himself told us, I lived through this once, I can't live through it again. So that's where we are today. What's Yosef saying? What happened then? We just told you what happened then. I don't even need a contradiction. There are bigger contradictions in life than this contradiction. Here they are, very simple. We paskin that Yosef was chayev. We did what we had to do. Then we saw the effect it had on our father. And now we have to be much more careful. No problem. What's the steer? What's the cash? So that's another problem to understand this idea. So I was thinking that there's another message with Yosef. And it's not even a direct message to the brothers. It's a statement that Yosef is making, Ani Yosef Oed Avichai. He's making a statement and he's giving Teichocha not Dafka to the Shvatim. He's giving Teichocha to everybody. He's giving Teichocha to the world. And I think we could say the Pshat is like this. In the last week's Parsha, the very, very difficult Chazal, Vayhi Mikesh Nasayim Yomim. So Chazal over there bring down a Medrash on the Pasuk of Ashrei Agever Asher Yiftach Bashem. So Chazal tell us, Ashrei Agever Asher Yiftach Bashem ze Yosef. It's Yosef. Right? He doesn't go and look for help from anywhere else but Hashem. Chazal says, ze Yosef. And then Chazal say, because Yosef told the Sar Mashkim that you should remember me, and he said twice, Zohar Vizkartani, 2 years he was left in the cell. So everybody, yes, on the Medrash, it contradicts itself. First, the Medrash says that Yosef is the highest level of Bitochen. And then it says, V'loipono Rehevim Ze Yosef, that because he went to the Sar Mashke, he was in prison an extra 2 years. What does that mean? So you're telling me that Yosef wasn't holding a Baal Bitochen. First, you're telling me Yosef is the Spitz Baal Bitochen. And then you're telling me that Yosef is not the Baal Bitochen. Adarabe. He was nenash because he went after the Sar Mashke. So it's all different pshatim. You know, you have the Beis Halevi's pshat. Beis Halevi says that for a normal person to do what Yosef did would have been considered the appropriate thing to do. Because every person has to do a shtadlus. Every person has to do a shtadlus. For the normal person, that would have been the right thing to do. Yosef HaTzadik, on his level, He didn't even have to do that. Yosef HaTzadik, he didn't even have to talk to the Saramashk. Because he was on such a... So that's what Chazal mean. How is it that Yosef was punished? How could it be that Yosef was punished for doing the most basic hishtadlus? It must be he's on such a madrega. That's how the Beis HaLevi learns it. Meaning, that was the taina. According to Yosef's madrega, that was the taina. But the truth is, if you look at the Medrash, it doesn't look like we're trying to give Yosef any moshe. It looks like we're just praising him. And yet we're saying he was punished. So what's the pshat? Chazanish has an opposite approach. Chazanish learns that talks about this in his Sefer Emunah B'Tochen. Chazanish says that although a person is allowed to do ishtadlus, you know, there's different kinds of ishtadlus that people do. We see lo'yoleinu, nebuch, sometimes somebody is sick, they have a machla. Right. So if somebody comes to them and says, listen, I know of a person in India that they use certain leaves and they wave it on top of your head and everything goes away. So nobody goes there. They go for traditional medicine. They go for the normal therapies and they don't want to do crazy things. But Nebuch, if a person goes through a process of refuah and it doesn't work, and things are mamish caving in. So you see Nebuch, the person, the chaylo, the people around him, they will do anything. And they spend, there's all kinds of lawsuits. Because there are people who Nebuch manipulate them at that time. The time when you have somebody who's on a low, you can manipulate them to spend crazy funds. I once read in an article of wealthy people that millions of dollars is extracted from them in the last couple of weeks of life with these different, you know, mishagoyim, who tell them you could do this and you could do that. Crazy things. So Chazanish has an unbelievable idea. He says, why is it that people do crazy things at times? He says, they only do it when they give up hope. When a person has no hope, then he pushes any button. You know, if the plane is coming down, you're pushing all the buttons. The red button that says don't push, this is... You push all, you try to keep the plane up, right? You don't think then, it's seicheltik, it's not mistavra. You push every button, you even push the button that says nosedive, you push that too. Because you're trying to, you're desperate. He says, when a person is, you know, relaxed, and a person has the calmness of mind, they only do things that are seicheltik. He says, ishtadlus, somebody who has bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will only do ishtadlus in a sensible way. Something unsensible you won't do. Because unsensible is reflective of somebody who's panic mode. Or he's miyush. He says, the Sara Mashke, the chances of him helping Yosef were zero. Why did Yosef push that button? It was a shtickle panic mode. Oh, I got somebody here who was going out. Let me tell him something. He says, that was the time on Yosef. The time on Yosef was that this ishtadlus was so far-fetched that why did you do it? Again, according to Chazanish's way of learning, it was also a time on Yosef HaTzadik. It was also a time. So either way, whether you learn like the Beis HaLevi, you learn like the Chazanish, it was a time on Yosef. The difficulty we have with the Chazanish's pshat is that why would Hashem make the Yeshua happen from a hishtadlus that he shouldn't have done? Ultimately, how did Yosef get free? With the Sar Mashke. So if this was hishtadlus he shouldn't have made, why did the Yeshua come through it? Should have been something else should have happened to save Yosef, not the Sar Mashke. But either way, it sounds like Chazal are praising Yosef. I want to tell you an idea which ties these two things together. And that is that really, it's not so simple that Yosef should have been... We understand that what Yosef would have come out 2 years earlier. If he wouldn't have pushed the buttons, he would have come out. Not so partial. Vayimi Kesh Nasayim Yoimim, says the Zohar HaKadosh, this was the time that was destined for Yosef to leave prison. He wouldn't have lived a day earlier. This was the destined time for him to leave. This Rosh Hashanah, when Yosef left the prison, this is when he was supposed to leave. It wouldn't have made a difference if he told the Sar Mashke, if he didn't tell the Sar Mashke. This is when he was destined to leave. The question is, why did he stay an extra 2 years? So the way we're learning, it really wasn't an extra 2 years, based on the Zohar. It wasn't an extra 2 years. So what did the Medrash mean? The Medrash means something very simple. Chazal tell us, if they would have beaten Hanani, Mishol, Azariah, they would have bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. That's what Chazal told us. It always bothered me, this Gemara in Ksubis, because it reminded me of what, you know, you have these parents, critical parents, the kid comes back with a 90, why it's not 95? If it's 95, why didn't he come back with 100? If it's 100, there was no extra credit. No matter what the kid does, it's not enough. Right? Hanani Mishol Vazariah jumped into the fire, Al Kiddush Hashem. Why can't we just say, wow, that was great? If it would have beaten them, they would have taka jumped in. They would have bowed down to the tzela. What's pshat in this chazal? What are chazal telling us? When they say, Ilu nogdu l'chanani mishol v'azariah. So some rishonim are so bothered with this kasha. There's a shita mekobetzis and ksubis that says an unbelievable chiddush that even the three averis, that there's a din yaharig v'al yavor, it's only yaharig. But to get beaten, you're not mechuyev. To get beaten to death, you're not mechuyev. Because that's worse than hariga. So according to them, Chazal telling us a big chiddush in halacha. Ilu, if they would have beaten them, they wouldn't have had a chiyuv to give up their life. Pochol etzalm. That's one shot. But that's not halacha. We don't paskin that way. The Ashita is like that. So I wanted to say that, well, perhaps the Chazal telling us the opposite. They're telling us a very important message. And that is that very often you read about stories of Gedalim and you think, okay, you know what? The Gedalim, they're made of different fiber. They can withstand Nisyonis that we can't. They can do certain things that we can't do. That's what we understand. They're different. They're different. I was zeicher last week to be by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So he was much more tired than usual. Much more tired. It was after Mincha. And we were schmoozing and learning, and you could see he was exhausted. So his ankle told me that I was concerned just how is he doing. He said, no, his ankle told me he didn't the night before he couldn't fall asleep. He wasn't sleep the whole night. So I said, so what about, so why didn't he chap today? Be mashlim today? No, daddy doesn't do it. If he didn't sleep the night before, he didn't sleep the night before. Doesn't make up the sleep. He has a daily schedule. If he didn't sleep the night before, so he didn't sleep the night before. So that's that. Today is today. There's no tashlumen in sleep. There's no such thing. Did you imagine? No. Wakes up his vesikin. His day runs the way it runs. Yes, he does have a half hour that he sleeps in the afternoon. The same half hour. Either was no sleep time. No sleep night before. That's nothing to do with today. Right? So some of the Talmidim told me afterwards. They said, it's unbelievable. I said, Rabbi, you could also do it. In our minds, we can't do it. Reb Chaim he's a different fiber. He could say, listen, I didn't sleep yesterday, that's yesterday. Today's today. Right? But we're different. But the truth is that Hashem does not send any person in Nisoyan unless he could withstand it. Unless a person could withstand a Nisoyan, Hashem doesn't send it to you. So every Nisoyan that you get in life was custom tailored for you. Chanani Mishol V'Azariah, you know why they jumped into the fire? Because they knew that if this is the Nisayon that's in front of them, they had the strength of character to say, you know what? This is Hashem's Nisayon for us. We could do it. Why didn't Hashem send them beatings? Because that's something they couldn't withstand. The lesson that Chazal is trying to tell you is, any Nisayon that comes your way, don't look at it like, okay, listen, a girdle would be able to do it. I can't do it. You know, if Reb Chaim was in this design, he could do it. But I can't do it. You know what I mean? This kind of matzav, I can't withstand it. I know I shouldn't get upset now, but I can't do it. Yeah, Reb Aryeh Levine, he wouldn't get upset now. But I'm not Reb Aryeh Levine. It's true you're not Reb Aryeh Levine. Don't worry. You're not Reb Aryeh Levine. But if Hashem sent you this test, it means you could do it. you couldn't do it, Hashem wouldn't send it to you. That's what Chazal is telling us. Why in the world did Hashem take Yosef? Okay? And after he went, finally he had a ray of hope, the Sarah Mashke, and now another 2 years. How did Yosef not go bonkers? Finally, he had one candle of hope. What does Hashem do? He extinguishes it. When by the time they pulled Yosef out, he would have never thought that would have happened with the Saramashke. Saramashke is Yosef Ayishkocheu. Saramashke forgot about Yosef. Yosef was gone. Why did Hashem do that? You know why? Because Yosef was able to withstand that test. Yosef had such a level of bitachon. He was able to withstand asking the Saramashke to go out and then it falling through on his face. And him having to have bitachon nocha 2 years. It's only because it was Yosef. And that's what Chazal praised Yosef. Lule Yosef the ish bitachon. If Yosef would have been taka relying on the Saramashke, he would have had a nervous breakdown. But he wasn't relying on the Saramashke. And that's why 2 years later, Yosef was the same Yosef. Yosef was the same Yosef. The reason why Hashem was able to give Yosef this nisayon was because he was the ish habitach. Hashem only throws a nisayon, the type of nisayon that you could withstand. One of the answers the Shvatim had to Bechiras Yosef, they realized in retrospect they did a chet, but they felt it was a tremendous nisayon. And the nisayon the Shvatim felt, listen, Hashem sent them a nisayon, Yosef HaTzadik with his dreams, with his... He made them feel like he's being misak in the Meluchas Yehuda. They had a Nisayan. So the Shvatim had an idea in their heads that Reuven is wrong. Reuven said, Hashem im anachnu. The Shvatim said, no, this was a Nisayan. We just couldn't withstand. Yosef turns to his brothers and says, no such thing. Ani Yosef ha'oid avichoy. How is Yaakov still alive, Taka? You know why? Because Hashem doesn't send a Nisayan that you can't withstand. So when Yosef told his brothers, Ani Yosef Odev Yichoy, the message Yosef was telling his brothers was, every Nisayon Hashem sends you, even a Nisayon like me being taken away from my father, that's also something my father was able to withstand. How did my father withstand that? The Eibishter did. That's the Oylono Miyem Adin Oylono Miyem Adichacha. Because what's the biggest excuse a person has in his life? I couldn't. David is going to show you how you could have. And that was Yosef's message. Yosef's message to his brothers was, there is no nisayon that a person can't withstand. You may decide not to do it. You may decide that you can't, but you could. Because the Baal HaNisayon, the master programmer, by the Borei Olam, every nisayon is sent to the person that he could withstand that nisayon. And if Hashem sends it to you, your taka could be saved. Okay. Stop.
Everyone pulls from the famous answer that Yehuda was finally showing Achdus the Shvatim that they would go to bath for his younger brother.
That was, you remember last year we spoke about this? One of the Pshatim I said was not just Achdus. I said this was a kapora. What was the Mechiras Yosef? Was they sold Yosef to slavery to preserve their kingdom. What was Yehuda doing now?
He's giving up.
The reverse. He was putting himself into slavery to free his brother. So the Rambam says, how do you fix Avera? By going back to the same situation and fixing it. So Yosef had to wait till they... This was a reversal of Mechiras Yosef. How are you?
Okay.